Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where strategy meets storytelling, right at the crossroads of the battlefield and the business front. We'll bring you tactics, triumphs, and truths from the trenches of sales. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where strategy meets storytelling. We're right at the middle of the crossroads of the battlefield and the business front. I'm your host, John Rankin, bringing you the tactics, triumphs, and truths from the trenches of sales. In today's episode, we're decoding the transition from service to sales with Curry Russell, good friend of mine, was at Fifth Group, and he has got some exciting stuff to share with us today. So let's gear up, let's march into the conversation and turn these strategies into victory. How you doing, man?
Doing real good, John. Glad to see you.
Glad to see you. So for those that are listening today, it's so funny how networking, not network marketing, but networking works. You were at Fifth Group before I was, but we never met at Fifth Group. It was not until years later you were doing this crazy vacation thing through a company I saw. And I was like, oh my God, how are you giving away vacations? And I connected with you. And then I was on your presentation, and because you were doing these little, I don't remember what they were called. They were these little gadgets that you had, which I used. Yep. And you started talking about being at Fifth Group. I was like, he was there when I was there, and we were in the green combatives room, but I didn't remember you at all. And that was a small community. So talk to us a little bit about your military career. What'd you do? When'd you join? And how'd you get to Fifth Group?
Man, it's been a journey. It's been a long journey. How I got to Fifth Group. That's my favorite story to tell my kids. So right now I've got kids who are 12 and 14. And my son, I'm just pushing hard to think about military before life, before doing anything else. And we talk a lot about the ASVAB test and being, he's 12. He's got time, and I'm just setting him up. And, you know, I was going through a very weird moment of my life and went up and took the ASVAB in Columbus, Ohio. And I told my recruiter that if I could get airborne in my contract, I'll sign up today. And he was like, well, you're going to need to find out which MOSs you qualify for and which contract, which MOSs have a airborne identifier to go into that position. So went up to Columbus, Ohio, took the ASVAB, did decent on it, had a list of like 70 jobs I could choose from. And I said, which one has airborne in the contract? And they were like, these four. And I just took my finger and picked one. And I picked one. It was communications. I was a radio operator at 31 Charlie, and I went to basic in Fort Jackson, went to Fort Gordon, which is now called Fort Eisenhower, which is the weirdest feeling in the world. Did you even know that Fort Bragg has changed its name?
Yeah,
Fort Liberty. So there's been major addressing changes across the entire country with these base name changes. Anyways, so went to Fort Gordon for AIT, then Fort whatever it is down there, Benning, to Airborne School. And my orders took me directly to Fort Campbell to 5th Special Forces. So I didn't know, and this is fun. Here, I'm going to tell you how dumb I am as a human being, if you have time for my story.
I do.
So
it's all about your story.
Yeah. So I show up at reception at Fort Campbell, and I show up all high and mighty, buddy, wearing my red beret, my shined up jump boots. I'm like, I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. And they are hating on me already. Like the at reception, because 101st doesn't get to wear airborne material. They don't get to be airborne. They're just like chickens on a rope, apparently. Yeah. So they kept me reception for 2 weeks. I was listed as AWOL by Fifth Group because they couldn't find me, because 101st was not letting Fifth Group know that I was there. So I stayed in reception for almost 2 weeks. And one of my favorite moments in history for me was going to my very first 101st welcome, like, class.
Right.
And they give you this little book that you're supposed to carry in your front pocket for all the rules and regulations of 101st and all the stuff. And in the front book of that book, it had the song, 101st song in it. And it starts off with, "We have a rendezvous with destiny."
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of this group of people, and I ask out loud, because I am an idiot, 20-year-old idiot, I go, "Who uses the word rendezvous in a song?" I had never seen this word in my life. I'm like, I didn't know that this is a French word. I didn't know anything. I was so dumb. But yeah, I got through that mess, got to Fifth Group. Somebody finally picked me up, stole me out of there, and started my tour, and had a lot of fun.
Now, how long did you serve? So what year did you come in? And then you got out in 2002, but when did you come in?
98. I came 98. In July 98. And then the very next July, I was already on my first deployment to Kuwait. So July 1, I was touching down in Kuwait.
Yeah. What battalion were you in?
GSC, so Fifth Group.
Oh, you were in GSC. Okay. Yeah. Yep. All right. Cool. So, you know, you'll actually have a super interesting story about transition, because 9/11 had just happened. You were already on deployment when it happened. You know, what was transition like for you in the midst of war? Because I remember, too, I was at Fifth Group when 9/11 went down, and the stopgap and all that stuff was being circulated. What was transition like?
So I was going through some of my own. I was 24 years old. I was an idiot. You know, you know, 24 year old guys get it all together. No, none of us do. Like,
right.
You know, it takes a little while. But I was on the second plane in country in after 9/11 happened. The second plane. There was nobody ahead of us but the Air Force unit that secured a runway at this abandoned base that we set up shop at. And we stayed there for, I mean, I don't want to get into the crazy details of that, but I was there from October 10th till somewhere in June, right at the beginning of June 2002. Fifth Group had already left. We left, right. all of us. So we were, but that June, I had to make a choice, because my end of my service was up August 12th. And so it was like a July exit. So I was in the midst of seeing somebody, possibly getting married, thinking about what my future was going to be. And I was trying not to be ignorant, but I'm 24 years old. So I bail out of the Army. I decided that this is not for me because of a certain situation that was happening. I was dealing with a personal issue with an E7, and I decided to walk away. I started applying for jobs in the city of Clarksville, Tennessee, because my soon-to-be short-term spouse was staying in the Army. She was, listen, it lasted 9 months. It was literally a 9-month marriage. We were at war together. She was in my unit. We were at war together longer than our marriage.
Yeah.
So she was still in. And then I had to make a decision to stay in Clarksville, Tennessee. And I ended up getting a IT job with the city of Clarksville, Tennessee. I was
not know that.
I stayed there. I worked for the city. I and it was really funny. I'm not hesitant at all about anything. I just do the thing, whatever it is. And when I was applying for this job, I had a couple certificates from Microsoft. I had some resume about myself for going into being a systems administrator for the city of Clarksville, Tennessee. And there was this position that was open, and they would, like, I literally called every day because I wanted that job. I called, hey, has it been filled? Hey, has it been filled? Hey, you know, what's the situation? Every day. So when I got hired, the guy called me in and gave me the, here's what the starting pay is. And he was like, I just want you to know that we're hiring you because we've never seen anybody who wanted a job more in their entire life. Like, nobody called. Nobody asked about pay. Nobody asked about this. Nobody. He was like, you called every day. And I was like, because I needed a job and I wanted a job that I could do and could grow in. And I said, I saw this as an opportunity. So that lasted 2 years. And then I moved into the field that I'm in now.
Okay. So how long? So obviously, you know, very short marriage. So you have this job with the city. How long did you stay in Clarksville? Because when I met you, I think you were back in Ohio, right?
West Virginia,
that's right.
Yeah, and I stayed in Clarksville for almost 4 more years. So I had a house out past the fairgrounds in Clarksville, towards the concrete plant or whatever it was across the river. I had moved around a few times, and once I got my job with the company that I really originally started with outside of Clarksville, I moved to Nashville or to Hermitage for a couple of months with the next soon to be ex-wife. And that one lasted a long time.
That one lasted a long time.
17 years. So yeah. It was, and it's only recently passed. So it's all fresh and it's got scabs and stuff. So, yeah. I went into the field of 911 public safety software, spent 9.5 years installing 911 call centers around the world, been to tons and tons of places, almost every state. And then I was somewhere around 2014, a Army buddy that I was in fifth group with, who I'm still friends with today, still great friends with. No, 2012, he starts pitching me some home-based business thing that was about travel. And I was like, dude, I travel 80% of the time. I don't have a need for this. I don't have a want for this. I don't understand why you think I'm a candidate for this. And I just blew him off. And he followed up for 2 years.
Wow.
So 2014, my business changed, or my company changed. I didn't have all the hotel points. I didn't have all the air miles. And I was like, well, how am I going to still afford to take my family on vacation? And he just showed back up. Hey, we still got this same thing, the same video 2 years later. All I'm asking you to do is watch the video. And we got on a call with him and another leader from Tennessee. And I asked some simple questions, and I literally told my now ex, I said, you know, we spent more money on these floating lily pad pool heaters than this costs. Let's just try it. And back then, it was a little bit of a leap to just throw away some money, you know, like, okay, what if I never use it? What if?
Right.
And then my life changed forever. My, like, had a Christian reborn moment, like, of fact of life. And it has, the last 9 years has dramatically changed my life.
So I met you on the tail end of that, I think, because we were in the same company. I did network marketing as well. And I remember that you were the first person I met that actually had a funnel. Like, actually had a sales funnel.
So you literally caught me literally as I was transitioning, because 2017, 2018, Christmas Day 2017, I enrolled with a company called Online Sales Pro that was helping me to build funnels. And I started using those funnels in conjunction with what was about to happen with Argos. Yeah. And me and the owner of that company are still ultra friends today. I helped grow his company, and I fell in love with lead generation and tools and sales and all of it.
Yeah. So, and that was the company I joined you on was because I was actually using them here at our local mall. Those were cool little tool.
Man, it was great. Gen
and fencing, geofencing before it is what it is now. So what do you think? So you're traveling around the country, you're doing 911 office installs. What do you think that was in you that took you from being in the military to doing that and then starting a side hustle? Was it just to save? And then like, where did you make that mental shift?
The mental shift actually happened when I went to an event and my very first network marketing event, and I heard what network marketing was because I joined a club. I thought I was just signing up to go take vacations. I didn't know I was in a business. I didn't know I was about to be in sales. I didn't know any of it. Like that, it was middle of September that year, went to my very first network marketing event, went to Akron, Ohio. A guy flew his own plane there. His name's Dave Watson. He was a college football coach. And he started talking. And I actually got this like massive connection between helping people find this club and what Jesus did with the 12 disciples. Like I just like I had this massive, as a matter of fact, I'm going to plug my book.
I was about to tell you.
I literally wrote a book specifically about this.
Yeah.
And so I just fell in love with the concept of what it was that we were doing. And it just like was a parasite and just got in me. And I just fell in love with the process. I literally fell in love with learning the process. And I sucked. Like people think. My favorite thing about people believing that some people are good at this and some people are not, and there's people that believe that, you know, some people are just born with this talent. My first year, I only enrolled 8 people in a company, and I sucked so bad at inviting people. I actually remember the moment that my best friend and his wife told me not only no, but they told me my most favorite sentence that changed like all of my vision. They said, "Terry, this won't work around here." And now, like, I looked at them and I was like, "What do you mean? Like, around here doesn't exist? Like, I don't know because I've traveled my whole life. I don't have a neighborhood. I don't have a circle of friends. I don't have a community. I don't have like my vision or my ability to think doesn't exist in a tiny box." And the way that she said that made me so aware of people's control, where they live, what they think, their community, their little church, their little thing. And that's all they can see at first. And so it took me a while to get over my best friend's no. And then I went to an event in Las Vegas in the next following year and heard one of my favorite trainers, Mark Aceta, tell from the stage that you are not responsible for the outcome.
That's right.
And that statement fixed me as a human being. That statement, when it took the responsibility away from me, and all I had to do was just do the thing, just do the invitation and let the resource do everything. And if they, whatever they say, what, like, that's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility to think about the outcome whatsoever. I don't care if they say no. I don't care if they say yes. No, I don't care. None of that is my responsibility. My responsibility is to do the thing. And the very next year, I enrolled 500 people in a business.
Wow.
And it was just like, it became nothing but invitation.
So people that are listening to podcasts, right, are going to be in business, they're going to be in sales, they're going to be from a pretty broad group of people. That lesson that you learned is so important for all people to learn, which is that I can't make anyone say yes or no. I cannot control that outcome at all. Now, I can influence it a little bit, right? I can get good at my craft. I can, you know, get good at networking. I can get good at delivery. But at the end of the day, whether Curry says yes or no is completely 100% dependent upon him. And as a salesperson, as a businessman, it becomes so important to learn that lesson. I love that you brought that out as one of the biggest things that you learned. And it freed you.
It changed my whole life. Like change, yeah. It became, and that just like with, I transitioned from being a 911 installer to sales because of network marketing, because I learned to give presentations and I practiced giving presentations and I was doing, I don't know, more than 100 a week. I was literally giving Zoom presentations from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. every day. 1 hour, and I was practicing and practicing sharing information and practicing inviting and practicing handling objections and practicing, and none of it mattered. It became so much more about doing the thing than getting results.
Sure.
Like I can't ever care, even right now, even what I do now, I don't care about the results. I care about doing the thing because results happen anyway.
Yep.
What most people fail at in that transition and growth period is they won't practice. They will literally stop because they're so afraid of the outcome. They're so afraid of what somebody's going to say. They're so afraid of not being able to handle an objection. So afraid of not being able to answer a question. So afraid of whatever it is that they stop practicing. And the moment you figure out that the practice and falling in love with it is the work, and you're just doing it and you're doing the thing, like the moment that happens, your world changes. Life just changes.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
And this, I mean, again, this is such an important part of sales and business, is that it doesn't matter. If you just do the work, the numbers work themselves out. You begin to make money, you get good, the better you get, the better the numbers get, et cetera. When did you transition from being the 911 installer to now you're still working with the same company, and now you're the sales presentation guy for them?
So I actually went into sales, sucked at it at this company, but I was doing something that no one else was doing. I literally found a list of all of the 911 centers in my whole territory. I uploaded that list to a Google map, and I just would go from dot to dot to dot and knock on doors because I wasn't recognized by name. So nobody knew me in the territory. Nobody recognized my emails. Nobody would take my phone calls. So I literally just started going door to door to door and visited hundreds of sites over 2 years, set up some contracts, set up some meetings, did a lot of presentations, had a great time. And when COVID happened, they let me go, which was fine. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, is they let me go. What happened in the next 90 days, I got picked up by another company that wanted my sales experience and my technical knowledge, and they put me in as a sales engineer. And for the next 2 years, I was hanging out with the sales team and literally just being there to answer technical questions. I had no real job. I was literally just waiting and talking. So I'm coming back from South Carolina. I went to an event down there in South Carolina, a national trade show. And the company decided to shut down the entire 911 division at one time. 97 jobs cut out in 1 second. So I sat down at the house, said, okay, what's next? And contacted one old friend who I was in business with in this company that I'm in now. And I said, look, I said, I'm looking for something. And she contacted her boss, and they had a senior sales engineer role. And I brought all of my information over, all of my knowledge, all of my skill set, and I became the presenter guy. I like to call myself the bells and whistles guy.
The presenter.
And now I literally just go around the country. I get to set up a little laptop, give a 1 hour presentation, turn around, answer questions, and be done. And I have no stress, no pressure. I just do the thing, and it's up to the sales guy to sell it. It's up to them to close. I'm just the technical resource and give the presentations. And I've been doing this now just over 2 years with this company, and I'll probably stay here until I either decide that I've got too much money, or I told my boss I'm giving him 5 more years, but we'll see.
All right. So, you know, I say this all the time. You know, I've done network marketing, and I think that if you take it seriously, if you actually treat it like a business, that whether you're successful or not, it doesn't matter, because network marketing teaches you how to do belly to belly, like how to actually do a sales process. And I frankly think it teaches you how to do it better than any other vehicle I've seen. I've been in sales since 11 years old. I was doing door-to-door newspaper, then I did telemarketing, and still to this day. And it always surprises me for a couple of different reasons. We'll talk about this and give you a chance to kind of talk about network marketing from a sales perspective and a business perspective. But it always surprised me, because right now, I don't know what it is currently today, but what is it? 95% of all small businesses, entrepreneurial businesses, fail within the first 2 years, right?
Yep.
So you have all these people that come and like end up hating on network marketing because the failure rate's roughly the same, maybe a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower. But we don't talk that way to people starting their own businesses. Talk to me about your journey inside network marketing, and because it sounds like just from a little bit of your story, you maybe weren't like one of the haters, but definitely didn't see it as a value add.
I didn't know. I honestly was just working. You know, when you're just working and you got a job, and my ex had bought some Pampered Chef kits and bought some Tupperware kits, and she didn't ever want to do the business, so I never saw the business. I just saw her buying a kit of stuff and wanted the stuff. I didn't know at all about the business. So when I literally joined that travel deal, I didn't know I was in a business. I had no clue. So yeah, my transition was kind of snuck up on me. Like, hey, let me just ease into this product idea, this service idea, and then let me show you how you can make a little bit of money.
Sure.
And I didn't come into it making a little bit of money. I remember the second Dave Watson sitting there in that room, and he literally asked 600 people in this meeting, who wants to make a little bit of money? Raise your hand. And I was one of the only people to raise my hand. He goes, who wants to make a lot of money? And everybody raises their hand. And he comes over and looks me directly in the eye, and I'll never forget it. He goes, you're probably the only honest person here. Because I didn't know that I could make a lot of money. I didn't. Right. I was like, well, if there's a way to make a little bit of money, yeah, I'd like to make a little bit of money. And sure, I did. For a while, I made a little bit of money. And it took about 3 years, and I was finally making about, I don't know, $500, $600 a month. I wasn't doing great. It took about 3 years. And then, you know, I transitioned to the next company and started making, you know, thousands of dollars a month. And then, you know, now I'm at a point where I'm making over, you know, 12, 14, 15,000 a month. And just on the side of my job.
So like part-time. Jim Rohn, right? Your side hustle, your part-time gig is making more than your full-time gig.
It's close. It's close? Real close.
Yeah.
Because I also get commission on top of my job. So I get my job pay, job commission, and my side hustle commission. Life is a really weird place for me right now. It's like, And it's only getting bigger. Like it's home, like everything seems to be in growth mode for 2024.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, it's funny you bring up Pampered Chef because, you know, one of the things I talk to people about is, you know, when you look at network marketing, most people don't realize that Grant Cardone is involved with the water company. It's in his book, Sell or Be Sold. He talks about that he's heavily vested in that company. Whatever it's called, Kagan or Inagic.
That's their product. It's Inagic is the company.
Yeah. And then Pampered Chef is owned by Warren Buffett.
Yep.
You know, so these are not amateurs.
One of the wildest things I've ever seen. I went to the 10X conference in Tallahassee with my buddy Scott, and we went down, and Grant had the only reason I went because my ex bought me tickets because Steve Harvey was there. Steve Harvey is my idol. Like I love some Steve Harvey, not because of like his business books, his history. But one of the wildest things I did not know, and he said from stage, is his beginning venture into his life was right before he entered into his own comedy thing. Somebody got him in Amway, and they made him start reading books because Amway used to make it mandatory that you read the Magic of Thinking Big immediately. That was your first book you had to read. And then it was the next book. And then the Power of Positive Thinking by Vincent Peale. Yep. He was on this stage, and I got the recording, on this stage telling people, this was the entrance to becoming who Steve Harvey was going to become. Those books, reading changed my whole mindset towards things. Like, I didn't know anything.
I didn't know that until you just told me.
No. I mean, I didn't even, like, without the books, without the audios, without changing your brain from being an employee mindset to an entrepreneur, because the school systems destroy the concept of being an entrepreneur. Yep. If they set you up to be a good employee, they set you up real good to be a good employee. But so, you have to break that.
Do you know Travis Johnson, podcasting guru from the Vet Tribe?
Yep, don't know.
Okay, so Travis Johnson, he's been on the show. Great friend of mine, podcasting guru. Has been in the top, 10 podcasts in the country. So, you got Joe Rogan and then you got like Patrick Bet-David. Well, Travis Johnson's been up there in those numbers.
Nice.
He and I were talking about it. I did not know this, and it's so interesting that you brought it up. So in the late 1800s, with the Industrial Revolution and then the freedom of slaves, they realized they needed a new class of slaves. And so they started the education system to teach people not to ask questions, to get in line, to follow a schedule, take a break when you're told to take a break. And like the entire educational system was produced to make you and I into corporate slaves.
Corporate slave. I use that term a lot. I use that term a whole lot because it is undeniable. You can't deny it. There is no way you can't argue. You can't get a teacher to argue with it that it's different. Like they just keep repopulating new teachers to get kids to be broken.
Yep.
It is fascinating that it is not just like that we send our kids to just get broken. Like we do, all of us.
Well, and it's so funny too, because I had another guy on the other day who's in the tax world, and the tax system was actually created for two different types of people. And those two types of people were the employee and the business owner. And the business owner actually gets tax incentives to do things a certain way. And then the employee doesn't get any of those benefits. And you actually are in a better position because you actually get to take advantage of both of those because you're a W-2 and a 1099 small business owner.
Yep. And I try to take advantage of every single thing that I can take advantage of, whether it's my vehicle, whether it's driving, whether it's room in my building, wherever. Like I take advantage of as much of it as possible. And I love when employee-mindsetted people are concerned about entrepreneurs' income, like, you know, with these big name people out here on television that are always like, well, let's see their tax returns. And it's like, you're looking at the tax return of a person who creates opportunities for other people to become taxpayers. Like, why are you missing this? Like, forget what their income tax was. How many taxpayers did they create in their opportunities? Like, how many or 1099 people has come through my organization to pay more taxes into the, like, nobody hates on, like, that the people who worry about stuff like this are wild, but
so, you know, number one, you wrote a book about it, so talk to me about the book. Where did that come from? How'd you end up doing that?
So immediately, like I said, that day in Akron, I saw Jesus as the first network marketer. So this book is literally labeled Jesus Christ, the first network marketer. It's on Amazon. You can get it for like $5 or $6. It's not very much. And I just saw this connection instantaneously to discipleship, because I see that building a network marketing business is not about the work that I do myself, but helping other people develop into leaders who can go out and spread a message and help as many people as possible and duplicate. The Bible, Jesus tells the disciples to go into all the world making disciples of one another. It isn't go get church pew sitters. It's not go get people who just come in and want to look good and raise their hands and sing some songs. No, it's go make disciples of all men. And so we, as network marketers, our job isn't to make sales. Our job is to make disciples. It's to make people who go and build a long-term income, because I'm going to quote my friend Dale, your long-term income in network marketing is in direct reflection to the number of leaders you develop or find. Yes. So if you only enroll 10 people and all 10 of them quit, you ain't making any money. You enroll 100 people and you find 5 who go run hard with you, and those 5 find 100, and those 100 find 5 more. You're not looking for individuals. You're looking for builders. Yeah. And it took me a long time to figure this stuff out. Like, it took me 9 years to become good at this.
Yeah. One of the things I love about your story, though, is you're the exact opposite of what everybody actually thinks. You know, they think that network marketing is, you know, posting these pictures on social media or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars and this and that and that. But you actually had lots of failure, lots of years of not making money, and then it switched.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember, because we were both in that travel company, I don't remember who said it, but they said, what if for 3 years, for 4 years, for 5 years, you didn't make a dollar? You lost money, lost money, lost money, lost money. But on year 3 or 5 or whatever he said, it all changed and you started making 10, 20, 30,000. That's literally your story.
But that's the way it really works, is because you don't go to freshman year of college having a career. You don't go to your junior year of college having a career. Right. You don't go into your senior year having your career. You literally got to be broken of your employee mindset and start understanding there's a process to it. And it takes real time to develop into who you have to become to receive what the universe or God wants you to have. And it's a test. I truly believe it's a test. Those who stick out and figure it out and stick around through the process get blessed the most. Like, go through the pains, go through the struggles, go through the relationships that fall apart, go through the brokenness. It's wild to me, and I'm just going to be really blunt. Sure. When I first got started, I was digging into this personal development thing hardcore. I go to a funeral. And at that funeral, my dad is doing the eulogy, and he says something that just made me crazy. And so I asked him about it, and I burned a bridge with my dad for 8 years. Didn't talk to my dad until literally this year, the beginning of this year. When I did that, I didn't know if I was ever going to recover a relationship with my dad, but it's like January 23 happened. I found the company that I'm in. My life changed. Then the next thing I know, I get a phone call or a text message from my dad. Hey, you want to have dinner? And I'm like, what is happening? And then I get, this next thing that is working out for me, and this next thing it's working out for me. And it's like the universe had finally caught up to give me a little back for sticking it out for this little bit. Yeah. And now it's like, I'm so aware of this flow of the universe. It's like, I'm just sitting back waiting for the next crash so that I can literally grow from the next crash to the next level that I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Like it's like, you shouldn't have an expectation that if you've been making $20 an hour, that the next month you're going to be making hundreds of dollars an hour. Yeah. You shouldn't have an expectation like that, because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. You don't know how to deal with it. You're not the person you need to be yet.
Yeah. Well, and the other part of your story that's so intriguing to me is, here you are, you're in the Army, you're a tech guy, a commo guy, you're not a sales guy. You didn't start to be a sales guy. You started because you were traveling, just like I was. I didn't start on the business side. Guy here in Clarksville showed me. I was like, dude, I'm traveling all the time with Fifth Group. I've saved some money on some hotels. Prove it. So he showed me, and I was like, that's a $500 savings. That pays for half the year. I'm in. Like, and I didn't really think anything about the business side of it.
Didn't know about it.
Until it started really making sense to me. So I love that part. And then I love how you've grown into a sales guy.
I love sales now.
Yeah. But even when I first met you, I don't think I would have said that about you. Because I met you, it must have been 2017, 2018. But you were doing things that intrigued me with the automated sales process, right?
I was so messed up back then. I was probably just ruining everything. I was probably ruining everything, but somehow I made some good friends. I did. I made some really good friends at that point, and made a lot of people that didn't like me at all. Lots of people.
Yeah. So talk to me about, so you're in this new company, Live Good, which I've been watching. They're doing some crazy good things. Seems like having some crazy good success. And then, you know, if somebody hears this and they're interested, how can they reach out and contact you?
So, Live Good is the first network marketing Costco-esque company. We literally are doing things unbelievably different. We don't pay out on product sales. We pay out entirely on a membership to a buyer's club. And so the more members that we have, it drives the prices of our products down. The very, very simple Costco-esque model. So we have a $9.95 membership that's monthly, $40 one time ever to become an affiliate. You can make 50% on the fast start of the membership and the affiliate program. So it's $49 and you make $25. I joined January 13th, and I will tell you, it's the fastest moving thing I've ever been part of. Over 1 million members have gotten started in a year. Never in history. And then, I mean, comparatively, Costco, it took them 3 years to have 1 million members. Amazon Prime, over 3 years to have 1 million members. And we did 1 million members in the very first year of the company. Wow. Products are priced so ridiculously well. There's no PV requirements. There's no ordering requirements. There's no selling requirements. And what's great is that the membership is forced into a forced matrix, that wherever you join, the people who get started after you in line, you actually make a quarter off of every single person. And we got people now making hundreds of dollars a month who have never even bought a product, never sold a membership, and they're making hundreds of dollars a month because of this forced matrix. And it's just growing and growing and growing and growing. So anybody who wants to do this or see the tour, that's all we do. This is the best part about this. For the last year, the only thing that I have done to grow a team of over 23,000 people around the world is ask people to watch a tour. So if you go to startfreetour.com, startfreetour.com, watch the 5-minute video, fill out the little name email box, and it will literally lock you in a free spot where you could actually get in before everybody else. Every Thursday is a lock-in date, and it's just been simple, man. I've never been part of a company where everything's done for you. They already got the lead capture tool. They already got the resource already done with a great video that actually it converts. Nobody has to do autoresponders. The autoresponders are built in for fear of loss emails, so you don't miss out on Thursday's placement. They've got every single day of the week, they've got some sort of training or a video or a live event online. The trainer, people like me who want to step up and train, I train on every Friday call. That's just, you can hear me give advice on building the business. It's fabulous. I mean, I've never been in a better, single greatest opportunity ever been in. Owners are amazing. There's only 4 owners. Like, so we don't have to, there's nobody else in the company minus the support team, 4 people running a 1,000,000 member organization company, shipping from around the world. Simple, simple, so stupid, simple.
That's cool. Okay. Good deal.
I literally just talked longer than it takes to see what this is. That's the dumbest part of what I'm sitting here going, I just talked a long time about something that's just take a tour, like just startfreetour.com. There's nothing to talk about. I love it when people come to me and they go, hey, we've got a problem. I'm like, a problem? Why is there a problem? You have a membership to a buyer's club. Like, nobody walks up to Costco and goes, you know what?
We have a problem. Yeah.
What do you have? Like, you're making a problem is what it is. Like, I don't have problems. I don't have issues. This is unbelievable.
This is a no brainer. That's so good, man. So, you know, there's so many parts of this that are real good. Just as we wrap up here, you got a soldier, airman, sailor, whatever, Marine, getting out. They're about to transition back into the real world, so to speak. What would you tell them?
Find a job. Find something that you enjoy doing that's related to what you were going through, whatever your job was in the Army, Air Force, whatever. Find a job. And then I would say, find a side hustle. Like my kids, I mean, I'm literally building positions for my kids right now so that when they get to 16, 17 years old, they can literally start transitioning to their positions and they can start doing this. You, anybody in the coming out of the military, you have a greater mindset towards rank advancement and chasing rank in a compensation plan. Your job is not going to give you a compensation plan. They're going to give you an opportunity to trade time or money, and you're going to get paid the least amount of money you're willing to trade your time and for money. That's the way the world works. Every job, including the one that I have, is paying me the least amount of money I'm willing to accept to do the labor that they ask me to. When you find a side hustle, it will come with a compensation plan. And in that compensation plan, it will show you ranks based on effort. And when you learn to use that compensation plan to your advantage, and you go, okay, if I do this, I'm going to get this pay. If I do this, I'm going to get to this pay. If I do this, I'm going to get to this pay. And it's legal. Like, it's all legal. And all you have to do is, in your spare time, transition to a entrepreneur mindset and chase those ranks. And when you hit those ranks, you're like I went from, like I said, I have a great career. But in my side hustle, I went from nothing to making about $1,000, $2,000 a month to making $5,000 to $7,000 a month. Now, after time and development and building an organization, I'm now making around $15,000 a month. And this is the first year of this company. Wait, I mean, 5 years from now, I'll be making somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 100 plus a month, six figures, easy, not even a thought.
Jim Rohn, the greatest speaker, you know, like he talks about this all the time. This, when your side hustle starts to do as good or almost as good as your full-time hustle. If you guys haven't listened to Jim Rohn, I highly recommend go listen to Jim Rohn. So Curry, man, thanks for coming on. I enjoyed it. We need to catch up more often. I love your energy and, you know, it's been good being connected to you these years.
You too, John. It's really good. I'm glad that we keep each other, you know, our phone numbers. We talk to each other every once in a while, and I love it.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot. All righty, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, bye.
Follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Sales Platoon for more updates and veteran success stories. Join us next time as we continue to decode the art of selling through the unique perspectives of those who've served.